Welcome to The Unlabeling Effect, where three distinctive women daringly dive into some taboos with the intention to normalize the uncomfortable yet vital conversations. We are ready to embark on a journey of self-discovery with comrades like you.
Welcome back to Are You Unconsciously Playing the Game Part 2. In the end of last week's episode, one of our hosts, Melody, raised the question, how do we actually spot between good or bad expectations that we have towards ourselves? In this episode, we're not only going to continue this and provide an answer for that, well, one of the answers, we will dive deeper on how Sandra manifests her dream on building and launching one of her first retreat space in Toronto.
I don't know for you guys, like sometimes when I know that I'm near a burnout, or when I know that my expectations or my ego might not align with who I want to be, sometimes I struggle to, or I procrastinate to face that.
There's fear to change. There's fear to change, right? Yeah. Before that is the awareness. A lot of people are not aware to take the time off to reflect. But if we make it like a group experience or even like a special place, you know, like what I'm building, then it's less scary and you feel like there's support.
Yeah, I think it's like being aware, then facing the fear, and then actually having action points to address those. They're all really, really tough.
So what's the one expectation that you had on yourself that you kind of let go now, but it was really hard for you to do so?
I think I have a type A personality. I'm a professional.
Oh, gosh.
I think a lot of us are. Like, I'm growing up with a tiger mom. Sorry, mom. Just trying to get like everything in the perfect order and everything perfect. And that's how I lead to burnout in my previous venture. Mm-hmm. Right now I'm like, okay, everything, as long as it's done and it's 80%, I'm good enough. But a lot of time from 80 to 100%, it may take me 10 hours, right? But to 80%, it may only take like 6 or 7 hours, and then you can do even more and get closer to your bigger vision. So for me, it's still a learning lesson of how I do not need to have everything in perfect order.
So it's letting go of certain aspects of that.
My perception of perfection, what is that? It's just only my own reality. It's only what I imagine. Accepting what I have built already, that's a very interesting dance with life. And if I allow life to flow more, a lot of new opportunity comes in because I'm not restricting myself into my own perspective of perfection.
Mm-hmm. And also that leads me to kind of ask, you know, what is the true value of someone wanting to play the game? So like, what are the boxes that you would need to take in order to, for you to say, okay, maybe I can still achieve this expectation without needing to play the game?
When we're playing the game, we're trying to manipulate. We're talking about manipulation. We're talking about controlling another person, getting more control of their situation. So we want to ask ourselves, why do we want to get that control? Is it because of the fear, or is it because we don't feel we have enough already? So that's why we need to control. Another really great thing that have been serving me really well is to have this abundance mindset. When we are acting out of scarcity, then we want to control because we don't think we have enough. But when we work on ourselves and know that everything is abundant, we are enough, then we don't have to get that approval and validation from outside, from another person, from another environment and situation, because we already have enough.
So it's almost like ties back to your self-worth and your core, right? Your foundation, your own foundation internally. If it's not solid enough, you always need the external control to reassure you that, you know, you're good enough, you're strong, you're powerful, regardless of the external rewards you know, you should still be able to fulfill yourself internally, but there's so many people just don't know how to do it. And that's why they seek externally by playing the game.
Exactly.
To gain those control.
How do we receive abundance, right? If we always close up, we don't receive it, we don't open to the abundance that life has given us already, then we always act from fear, act from like a place where we need more. I think a lot of us have never experienced the feeling of abundance, or it's just really brief moments of feeling, oh, I have enough. That's something that I really offer in my space and in my experience, is to tap into the ultimate source. Like, you have so much within you that you don't know.
And how do you think people can tap into their, I think full potential is so complex, right? There's so many layers to it. There's so many sides to it. So how do people tap into their potential in terms of, like, let's start with like ego. How can people tap into that? Because I feel like it's so hard to reach. I don't even know where to start.
So it's two different things, like your full potential and your ego is two different things. Like your full potential is like your, in terms of what we know, right? What I know, in terms of my limited knowledge, your full potential is like your spirit, and your ego is there. It's your identity, is who you think you are. So they are two different things. And it's always good to have a coach to lead you to your fuller potential, because we can only see what we see. Okay, the ego is like, we can only know what we know. If you have a mentor who can show you more, or a sifu, okay, a master, then someone who can guide you, that's always really nice way to tap into your fuller potential. There's also one thing called manifestation. The brain can't really tell what is real or not. Your limitation is only limited by what you can think. If someone can guide you, and if we have this experience of like even thinking bigger, creating more for your life, when you can imagine that, then you already have the first step. This is the toughest step, is to imagine how your life can be, not limited by what you think right now.
Is that like the practice of visualization? Is it very similar?
Yes. Okay. Yes, they have visualization and manifestation. In 2018, like 4 years ago, I actually have this visualization when I'm doing a really deep meditative exercise. And I envision having a retreat center, a retreat space next to the beach. And that comes to me, and I'm like, okay, Sandra, that may not happen. This seems like a completely different life. But okay, I will receive it. I'll put it at the back of my mind. And 4 months ago, I have that again. And I was just like, oh, okay, this seems a lot of work. That seems like not feasible to me. I start to do a lot of manifestation, a lot of like putting myself in that vision and really imagining as many things as possible about this visualization. Then slowly it happens, because when you can visualize it, you start to see how the opportunity comes up and how you can make this happen.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. I'm really interested in knowing like what Rita is thinking right now, because she's like among us, like she's the most scientific, you know, logical, believe in what she can see type of mindset. So how do you, Rita, you manifest who you want to be?
I guess it's similar, but it's just not as spiritually connect to my future self or the vision, I guess. It's just that we set goals, you know, short-term goals, mid-term goals, long-term goals, then you structurally plan ahead.
How did you set the goals?
I think it's just based on my passion and interest, and I hope to picture-rise what I want to achieve at the end.
How do you decide what you want to achieve at the end?
Just like I read a book the other day. It's called Compound Effect. He said if you want to build a life that you want, then you picturize how you want to devote your time. For example, I'm a guy or girl that would like to have dinner with my family and children every night at 7 p.m. and I would need my weekend off. So I need to build my career plan according to this vision, like what I want to achieve in physical wise, family wise, career wise, then you work accordingly. Then that's the life that you envision and want to manifest.
This is one way to build it. But what do you want? Like, where would that be? What type of environment? How does it feel? What type of smells? Is it in Bali? Is it next to the beach? Is that the life you want or next to a lake? So there's a lot of manifestation and a lot of guys, a lot of ceremony we can do to really tap into what we really, truly want in our inner sense. It's what you really, really want, what makes your heart happy and your stomach filled with butterflies. It's just something that, oh, okay, it's really like what I think I should be doing. And you have this feeling of like, oh my God, this is like so military, so structural, so is this what life is supposed to be? If it makes you question your life.
When you say like you've been practicing on how to manifest, were there like signs in between telling you that, you know, you are heading towards what you visualize? What made you consistently trying to work for it?
When you're visualizing, is this more expensive or is it limiting, right? And I start talking about this to anyone I know because I got so excited. And I have my first ever astrology reading in Costa Rica. And that person just look at me and be like, this align with your purpose. It's in the reading. It really aligned with my life. And I have all this different skill set and I don't see them together yet. It's like all in like different, like she was like, it makes sense because your charge here is like this. It makes sense because your charge here is like this. This is this, right? She didn't say it that way because I was just really skeptical in the beginning. My really realistic side was like, okay, this is not going to happen. Like I come from a business background, right? Like, okay. Visibly, like it may not happen. But then I come back and I was just telling them, you know, guys, I want this to happen. I want to film something to make this happen before I can have a festival or a space. I start talking to people about the space. I start meeting new people, you know, people, sound healer, gombab master, people who offer ceremony, you know, all these people who are just like really, really excited about this space.
It's all coming together.
It's all coming together.
Yeah, just because everything is like, you know, going well and
it's aligning, right?
Yeah.
But you have to put it there. You have to put it there and you have to have this visualization and then we act upon it. I come from a very structural background. I'm like type A perfectionist, right? And then all my dreamer side, my manifestation side is like now linking together. They're not opposing force. I think a lot of people, especially in Hong Kong, we have the really structural side that we have no dreams. We haven't tapped into our dream reality. Like, what can we really achieve?
Maybe Sandra has cracked the code. Like, she is playing the right game. And we unconsciously, we're actually playing the wrong game.
Playing the game of life. I think the ultimate game is the game of life and whether we're willing to really let go. And like flow and play.
I want to close this episode by a philosopher called Nietzsche. His theory is basically about different stages of life. So the first stage is camel. So we learn to obey a lot of society rules, or we think that we need to convey in a way where everything is structured and we're just part of the system. And then we became a lion where we realize our strength and weaknesses and we know how to shine. And then the final stage of life is being a kid again. It's like, how do you find that curiosity spark in normal day activities, find joy in everything and just be curious and innocent as a child. And I think that's really beautiful. And I think that's totally aligned with what you just told us, like about tapping into it and then have all these kind of imaginations about what we can be as a spirit instead of just, you know, like what I want to do, like my passion and my career goals and whatnot. And it's so much more, actually, like you are so much more. And it would be great if we're ever in Toronto, I'll maybe we'll be in Canada and like end of 2022. And I really hope to like visit your place. And I can't wait. If you have a website that we can link it in the description, it would be so amazing for our audience to click into it and just check out the space, even though you're not in Canada.
Yeah. Right now we have an Instagram handle. So it's lemonation.x. You can go check it out.
Even when you're traveling, Sandra, I love like just scrolling your stories because your attitude towards, you know, all the experience feels very like lighthearted. And I really appreciate that. And please go check out
her. I'm not trying to play the game. I'm just trying to be myself. And I think this is also the, you know, when you be yourself, right? You don't have to play the game and you attract people that are like you, that really appreciate you. This is just the first space. We are planning to have a lot of different space and experience. This is a physical space, but we are also planning festivals, collaborating with other people to bring you experiences that are expensive and experiential. So this is just a start.
That's all for today's episode. Tune in again next time when we talk about, is love at first sight real?
Thank you for tuning in, and let's continue the conversation on Instagram at Unlabeling Effect. Please subscribe to our podcast on Spotify and iTunes and give us a rating. Until then, dare to feel, dare to be real.